Without further ado, we've got Connor Boyack, who is holding the Boyack Review. Connor, are you there?
I am, Jake. How you doing?
Good, good. So today, you know, I was mentioning that it is the 236th birthday of Thomas Paine's incendiary pamphlet, Common Sense, not Glenn Beck's cheap, lame ripoff.
Rehash.
Yeah, total wacko ridiculousness. I hope that's not people's first introduction to a book called Common Sense. That is just, and I'm sure it is, unfortunately. But you wanted to talk about
the abridged and sanitized version.
Oh my goodness! I mean, and he's actually a Federalist. That book he put out, the original argument, is anti-libertarian. The anti-Federalist.
I haven't read it. I can't say.
Oh, he is a disaster. Anyway, you wanted to talk about a whole other infamous anniversary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're talking about anniversaries. Happy birthday tomorrow to Guantanamo Bay, the tenth anniversary of that fine establishment. As I was thinking about what to talk about, and with that anniversary coming up tomorrow, I was reminded about a blog post I wrote about a couple years ago, which reminded me also then about an article written by Congressman Chaffetz. So if you recall, there was, you know, we had Barack Obama, who as a candidate was very anti-war, pro-civil liberty, and clearly as president he's been anything but
that.
Yeah,
his rhetoric was actually pretty good with regards to foreign policy.
Right. And so, you know, one of the campaign platforms or issues that he ran on was closing Guantanamo Bay within a year, right? That was as he excoriated the Bush administration for this extra-constitutional indefinite detention of people outside of the jurisdiction and, you know, and the country of the United States, and he just railed against George Bush. And so,
and I think that's why he got elected. I think people were sick of
the
warmongering and our reputation internationally for being
jerks. I think a lot of people were fed up with it. They were hopeful that he'd do it. Clearly he didn't do it. He reneged on that quite quickly. But while it was yet inconclusive that Barack Obama would take such an action and reverse course, the Republicans were just up in arms that he would follow through. They were, you know, very upset at the thought that Guantanamo might be closed. And Jason Chaffetz, congressman from Utah, was one congressman who put up a fight and wrote a letter. And so this letter's on his website. It's a press release that he issued, the copy of the letter that he sent to Obama. This was in May of 2009. And so I read through this now, and it is so full of falsehoods that it's crazy. Now, that may have been conventional thinking at the time, you know, especially if you believe the generals and the military propagandists who are kind of touting the lie, but you know, pretty much every sentence in his press release is completely false. And I want to touch on a couple because they'll kind of be good to kind of carry along the dialogue on the issue.
Well, I'm happy to hear it because you know of anybody.
You're no fan.
I am not a fan. I didn't even want to get involved in politics, and that guy made me mad enough that I actually ran for Congress. I mean,
so you'll be shouting some amens at what I'm about to say,
I can't wait to hear it.
So it's a choice letter. The very first sentence, he says, "Last Friday, I had the honor of visiting the Guantanamo Bay, Cuba detention facility." Now, I think, you know, a prison where we're indefinitely detaining a number of people who are suspected, you know, without any reasonable cause or probable cause, it's an honor to visit such an establishment. I thought that was an interesting choice of words. Now, you know, he goes on and he lists three. He says, you know, "We've done a grave injustice by allowing widespread misperceptions of the facility to be perpetuated." There are three key facts that I think would surprise most Americans. All three of these are false, actually. So first, he says, "Contrary to popular belief, waterboarding never happened at Guantanamo Bay." Now, that's not true. That's a lie that was persisted by Donald Rumsfeld in his book and his memoirs, that it's not true. In many cases, it was not the precise action of waterboarding as it's typically known, but clearly waterboarding-like or actual waterboarding activities were conducted. In the New York Times, just a couple days ago on the 8th, one of the individuals who was incarcerated and innocent at Guantanamo for several years clearly rebutted that notion and said, "Yes, I was waterboarded. I was hung upside down with my head dunked in water and punched in the stomach repeatedly." So, you know, those type of activities, including actual waterboarding, there are people who have testified under oath that they were waterboarded at Guantanamo. So for him to simply repeat what the military bosses told him and say, "No, we haven't waterboarded anyone, that's not true.
Dick Cheney even not only says it was done, but then tries to take some sort of weird I don't even know how he tries to take the moral high road, but says that it was done and it was a good thing or something.
That man's evil, so that doesn't surprise me. The second thing that Chaffetz touches on is he says, people should understand that our troops go to great lengths to treat detainees with respect. He says, you know, in my visit, I found the following items. And he says, you know, they're given opportunities to pray freely 5 times a day. They can read books. They can watch movies. Then he says, there is no solitary confinement. Now, that's an absolute lie. That's not the case at all. Maybe when he visited Guantanamo, as he says was his honor, they, you know, changed things up to say, oh, no, look, everyone's kind of together. But that's not the case at all. So many people who have been incarcerated there and finally set free have said that they were held, including this individual who was published in the New York Times a couple days ago, that he was held in solitary confinement for great lengths of time. And so that, you know, he says, our troops maintain a disciplined and calm demeanor even in the face of abuse by detainees. And I wonder, the detainees are abusing the individuals detaining them?
Well, we've seen the photographic evidence of these detainees chained up in humiliating positions with feces on them and dogs attacking them. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's proof.
Yeah, it's a completely one-sided letter. I don't know that he would stand by everything in this letter today. I mean, maybe at the time he just got on the phone with some military guy and he went for a little photo op at Guantanamo and, you know, hey, a congressman's showing up. Let's kind of clean the place up and make everyone smile.
I know that there's a detainee. His name was Murat Kumaz. If you go to YouTube and type in... I think it was, if you type in Gitmo, I got 30 days in darkness for feeding iguanas. A weird title. But if you type that in, this guy was a German citizen who was just randomly picked up, released because they had no cause. They were totally wrong. And he says that there was actually a fake Guantanamo for people to visit, and then there was the real Guantanamo where all this awful stuff, the photos that came out. So
That's actually the exact individual who I'm referring to wrote this New York Times piece.
Mm.
Murat Kurnaz, the name of his article, title of his article is Notes from a Guantanamo Survivor, and he's actually published a book about his with his memoirs called 5 Years of My Life, An Innocent Man in Guantanamo.
Now hold on, because we're bumping on our commercial here. We're going to have to go to break, but... I want to go in depth on this because there is culpability for our local politicians. I know you were one of the early ones paying attention to Chaffetz on this because I remember the blog post where you said, boy, he sure sounds like a neocon. But I'd like to explore that a little more after the break here. All right, guys, welcome back. Mental Self Defense Radio. I am Jake Shannon. We're in the middle of the Boyack Review. Connor Boyack, libertarian gadfly, best-selling author now, I think. Are you a best-selling author, Connor?
Hold on now.
Wait, there we go. Couldn't hear you before. Sorry. Are you a best-selling author now?
It depends how you define the term, but sure, I'll take that.
I think it's something like 10,000 copies, but you are, according to Amazon, in one section, you're a best-selling author, right?
Yeah, in the Mormon category, we've been doing quite well. The book's Latter-day Liberty. You find it on Amazon or latterdayliberty.com. It's been selling really well and getting rave reviews, so I'm
good,
very
good.
Happy.
Now we're in the middle of your review where you're talking about a day. Tomorrow is the 10-year birthday of Guantanamo Bay, the implications, tying it back here, at least to Utah, in particular with Jason Chaffetz. And my view is this. My problem with Chaffetz is this. He campaigns calling himself a constitutionalist and all this other rhetoric, and yet he totally supports all this extra constitutional nonsense in his votes. And then he does things like endorse Mitt Romney. I mean, and I guess the way I can look at it is maybe he's endorsing Mitt because he's a flip-flopper like Mitt. Maybe. That's me being nice. Or maybe it's that he is just straight-up deceitful, which would be the not-nice version. But on this case, in what you've raised about this letter that he actually wrote, it seems that either he... was deceived, easily deceived, which it's very clear that Guantanamo is not a good thing, or that he's lying. And either way, or some combination of the two, either way, it doesn't seem like it's a good thing for Utahns.
Right. Yeah, well, and I want to make a connection to something that we were talking about before, and it'll take a couple steps, so bear with me here, because I think you're exactly right. You know, in his letter, he dedicates a substantial amount of time to saying, well, you know, they're treated very well, and they can watch movies, and they can read books, and they can talk to their lawyer, and then he has the lie about that there's no solitary confinement, and that's not true. But leaving that aside, let's say that whole section is right and that we treat them well. So does that mean if I go kidnap you, Jake, and lock you in my basement, away from your family, you lose your business, you're, you know, not able to go to your home or visit any of your loved ones, But hey, I bring you three warm meals a day, and I let you watch cable, and sometimes maybe I'll let you surf the internet if you're lucky, which, of course, they can't do in Guantanamo. To me, it's very offensive, the fact that we have incarcerated almost, I think, over 700 people now is what the ACLU reported since 2002. 700 people, and we have only, we meaning the government, I should say, has only prosecuted a very, very small number, barely even double digits, if I recall correctly. So hundreds of people. And these were guys that were picked up by bounty hunters. We went in, we invaded the Middle East, and we said, hey, we're going to give you all this money if you, you know, help us find anyone who's connected to Al-Qaeda. Well, of course, these people want money. So they say, hey, that guy is. So we collect all these guys, we round them up for years with no evidence, no due process, no ability to challenge, you know, their detention. But we say, oh, hey, we're treating you nice. You should be happy.
Well, it's funny because... you know, again, bringing this back to Utah, and I love the metaphor, or not even metaphor, the exact right term, kidnapping, because that's what happened. You know, people are up in arms, and rightly so, about the whole Elizabeth Smart thing, but because it happened somewhere else, and but yet we're paying for it through our tax dollars. I mean, it's so sick.
Well, and I should note, when I wrote this article in response to Chaffetz, in partial response to Chaffetz, it was May 2009, and at that time, there had been hundreds of guys processed and detained in Guantanamo, and only three were even charged of anything. We say, okay, you know, we got three bad guys, but listen to this. These were the three guys. One guy was found guilty under retrospective legislation introduced in 2006 of providing material support to terrorists back in 2001, which is unconstitutional. It's ex post facto law. But even still, the second guy had taken a job as a chauffeur driving Osama bin Laden around, right? So that's one of our supposedly criminal, successful, you know, detainees. The third one was a guy who made a video celebrating the attack on the USS Cole. So these were guys, we're rounding up all sorts, hundreds of individuals who were completely innocent, and oh, hey, we catch these guys who, you know, they weren't shooting at any troops. These were guys who were randomly... somehow material supporting. Here's my problem, Jake, and here's the connection I wanted to make. The government passed just a few days ago the NDAA bill, which now extends the authority of the executive branch, the president, to indefinitely detain, on his order alone, American citizens. If we can and do incarcerate and indefinitely detain individuals who aren't citizens on the flimsiest of charges, or no charges at all, many of these people haven't even been charged with anything. We just lock them up and throw away the key, but hey, we let them watch movies. It's that same injustice that can now be applied to American citizens. We have sowed the seeds for a decade in abandoning, in laughing to scorn the rule of law, individual rights, due process, as long as it happened to other people. And now that the key has been turned, now it's being passed, has been passed so that the same thing can happen to American citizens. The same thing with assassination. The president has long had a list of people that at his whim he could, you know, assassinate and give the order on a short list, and now American citizens are on that list. An American citizen, Anwar al-Awlaki, that's how you pronounce his name, was assassinated. He was an American citizen on the authority of the president alone. So,
and wasn't his son assassinated?
His son as well.
It's just... I can't even believe it. It's like I almost feel like I'm in some weird dystopian movie. This just doesn't even seem real, but it is real. It's so scary.
Well, and for me, I look for the right type of principled people who we want to uphold as leaders are not the people that Johnny-come-latelys and say, oh, yeah, that's bad. We shouldn't do that to American citizens. If we are not defending the individual rights of all people around the world, then we cheapen our own. That's my contention. We shouldn't empower and justify a government which denies the rights of, oh, hey, just because you were born in Afghanistan, you have no rights under our government. We can lock you up and throw away the key. No, because exactly what has now happened is what my suspicion has been for years, that these same powers that we are justifying and you know, implicitly or tacitly approving in our government would one day and have now been turned on the American people. Well, okay, it's just still the bad guys, but the precedent has been set. The authority has been established, even though it's illegitimate, and then we're still going to incrementally see the expansion of that authority with even more application on flimsier standards to the American citizens. That NDAA bill had all these just legally vague terms of anyone who, you know, supports terrorists in any way. Well, how do you define that? You don't.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, what happens when just, like you said, this guy making a video and dissenting about the government? I mean, don't we have freedom of speech even for the stuff we don't agree with? But I guess not.
You would think so. And it's kind of ironic because now we're seeing situations where other countries that have not historically nor are they currently really known for defending individual rights are getting a better track record than us. Afghanistan, for example, they have a quote-unquote Guantanamo over there. Their own, I don't remember if that's the Bagram one, if I remember the name of it right, but they have basically the same thing where they've indefinitely detained all sorts of people in that country, the American government has. And now you have the Afghan government coming out and demanding the release of all these people who have been indefinitely detained without any crimes, without any charges, no evidence at all, and the Afghanistan government is coming to their aid and saying, let them go. So to me, it's just, like you said, it's this dystopian, weird world that we're in where these repressive regimes are now standing up for individual rights far better than our own government. Clearly, their government has plenty of corruption and problems just as ours does. But, you know, we have championed collectively these constitutionalist politicians and these conservatives, and these are the precedents that they have allowed to be established because they did not recognize the principle at the beginning. Chaffetz is a good guy, right? I mean, I'll talk to him in person. We get along. I agree with him on many things.
I've written a lot about him critically, but I've always said that the guy is affable. He's likable. I'd love to hang out and have a soda and pie with him or whatever. I mean, he seems like a fun guy.
And that's just it. To me, you cannot say, well, he's a likable guy, he's a media darling, as many people call him. But the fact that he has in the past, and to some extent still does, he voted down the NDAA, which is good. I definitely give him credit for that. But to the extent that he has in the past, at least, supported the legislation that has helped bring us to this point, I think should be vocally and vociferously opposed. 10 years marks tomorrow the anniversary. And it is just a relic of tyranny, that place. He argues further in that article that I mentioned, 2009, well, you know, it's this, in fact, I should probably just read it here so that I don't get his words wrong. I've got it right here. He says, it has natural geographic barriers which keep detainees far from American civilians. And he goes on to explain that he doesn't want anyone trying to help them get released, nor does he want them in our own criminal justice system. We've got to keep them separate. But the reason why we have created this extra constitutional and foreign base, as we have in Guantanamo, Cuba, along with Bagram and dozens of other black ops satellite operations where we detain individuals, is specifically because it's done in the shadows. It's done outside of the view of the American people. It's the same reason why the government does not allow pictures of dead soldiers. They prohibit it. They censor it because they want to establish a narrative and maintain that these are bad guys we need to keep away, when like 98% plus of these guys are completely innocent. And it is our government which has for years been locking them up, abusing them, torturing them, and refusing to allow them to be cleared. In fact, there are dozens of people right now in Guantanamo who have been cleared, but they are considered, for some reason, by the government to be too dangerous to let go. So we're even holding...
And they have to keep it secret, because if the people, the large, you know, the majority of people knew that what they were doing with the money coming from their taxes, their hard-earned, like, spending 8-10 hours a day working their buns off and then having a big chunk of it take out in tax, that's being financed by people who don't know that this stuff is being done with their money. It's just, it's scary. And, you know, I opened the show saying that anybody calling Mitt Romney a conservative is stretching the term conservative behind, you know, beyond any real meaning. It loses all meaning at that point. And this is how I feel about Chaffetz calling himself a constitutionalist. You know, it just doesn't ring true. It's like Michael Jackson naming himself the King of Pop. Well, okay, you can name yourself that, but it doesn't actually mean it's true.
Yeah, and with your mention of Mitt Romney, I need to just throw out, for what little of your listenership might support him in some way or the other, this is a guy who wants to double Guantanamo. He thinks it's great. He thinks it's necessary. He wants to expand it. Well, he wants to further empower them.
If anybody would know, it would be either you or Darcy, and I want to know, because I know Chaffetz has endorsed Romney, which I guess makes sense given what we've been talking about today. I know that Carl Wimmer has donated to the Romney campaign a good chunk of money. Is there any Utah politicians that have come out and explicitly endorsed Ron Paul?
I'll say this.
They're Republicans.
Right. Yeah, I've talked kind of just behind the scenes with many politicians who support Ron Paul. But for one reason or another, they won't come out and say it. And I attribute that to the fact that they want to preserve their own political power. They don't want to take a hard stance or what I perceive as a more principled stance and say this is someone I support, even though their own constituency may overwhelmingly support Romney and, you know, try and vote them out of office because they don't consider them their specific flavor of conservatism. I know of several legislators, and I won't name them to protect their own privacy, that they feel they need on this issue, which I think is wrong, who do support Ron Paul. But, you know, Mitt Romney has some kind of cultural lock on the Mormons and the conservatives in Utah here for some odd reason. I think he violates fundamental principles in both camps, that these politicians have not yet had the intestinal fortitude, as my mother would say, to come out and just make their stance. Maybe they will. Maybe, you know, we'll see some more. I know of several, but for now, Mitt Romney kind of has this, you know, weird relationship with many. So,
well, hopefully that'll change. I hope, we still got time. We still got time. But thanks, Connor. Great segment. Guys, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Mental Self Defense Radio, K-Talk, AM 630, Boise, Utah.